Welcome, everybody. This is Pat Williams for the monthly forum call for the Institute for Life Coach Training. Those of you who have called in now, we've muted your phone so we won't hear any background noise for a while. Later on in the call, we might be able to unmute and have people post questions or comments live. But for the time being, I'm going to talk about one of my favorite subjects, and that's the use of metaphor in coaching. So thank you all for signing up and being a part of this. I was thinking before this call, I mean, I've taught a class with ILCT three times now over the last couple of years on metaphors and coaching, and we'll probably do another one in the spring. But my interest in metaphors goes probably way back to my undergraduate in psychology when I was introduced to the work of Carl Jung and his use of symbols. And I became very interested in symbolic language and archetypes and that sort of thing. Then went on to get my master's in humanistic and transpersonal psychology, my doctorate in transpersonal psychology. And then, of course, studied as a psychologist Ericksonian hypnotherapy, which is all based on metaphor and linguistic symbolic language. So before I became a coach, it was a very much part of my life as a psychologist slash coach, because that's really what I was, even though there was no field of coaching then. Then I started doing executive coaching and found that the use of metaphor is just a great way to have conversations with people differently than other people in their life do. I mean, one of the things we do as coaches is, of course, ask questions differently and create space for the client differently and engage a conversation with the client that they don't get with anybody else in their life, at least as focused as coaching is. And so I'm here today to give you permission and request that you play with metaphors if you don't already. Some of you may have joined this call because you use them and find them fun now, but if you don't, you're going to find ways after this call that you can immediately start looking at this as an engaging way to add zest and new vitality to coaching conversations. And probably even as a way to market coaching with somebody who's thinking about hiring you, because it's a great way for them to see that something's different about metaphors. Now, those of you who are students at ILCT and have read my book and the new second edition even of Becoming a Professional Life Coach, we do talk in this book both on page 71 and then later on in page 161 about using metaphors in coaching. So you can refer to that. But there's some research by a University of Chicago professor named Andrew Ortani, who was a researcher in learning and cognition. He made a radical statement way back in 1975, and then it was reprinted in another article in 2001. But he said that metaphors are necessary, not just nice. A metaphor can be viewed as simply one person's description of something as like something else. So a metaphor is a word or an image that stands for something else. In a book called Metaphors We Live By, the authors Lakoff and Johnson say, the essence of metaphor is understanding and experience one kind of thing in terms of another. So there's another reference that I make in this class that I teach from a book called Coaching with the Brain in Mind by two of my friends, actually, David Rock and Linda Page. Coaching with a Brain in Mind, they talk about the use of metaphors as our ability, metaphors connect our ability to picture images with our verbal communication. They're also a bridge to use a metaphor that carries meaning from the metaphoric image to whatever it's referring to. So they use a metaphor to describe a metaphor there. They're a bridge. They're like a bridge that carries meaning from whatever image a person has to whatever it's referring to. So someone may say, John is a real anchor to this work group. Or in this context, somebody might say, John is like an anchor. We're not going to get into English criticism here, whether it's an analogy or a metaphor, because I know if you say like, then it's more like an analogy, but if somebody says he is an anchor, we're not going to worry about the nuances of that. Symbolism, metaphor, analogy, even sometimes if you share a story, you're using the imagery process to shift the client's thinking and to make your conversation, I think, more engaging. So in metaphor coaching, using metaphor particularly, the process of engaging the client's own metaphor to affect change involves several steps that must be preceded by a conversation locating the client in or in relation to whatever is being explored. So through asking powerful questions and all the things we do as coaches, you don't jump right in a metaphor. You listen for the client's language, and then see if they've said some metaphoric word that you can just simply say, could you say more about that? Maybe I can give you an example. There's a dialogue I had here. Well, actually, you know, there's a call I just had right before this with one of my clients who's actually in a training class with me, but we coached each other on how we're going to market this new training called Points of View, which is all about metaphors and pictures. And she is a cyclist, so she really likes bicycling, and we were talking about, so I said, how could you connect what you bring to cycling and bring it to your marketing, this coaching game? And she just had this real insight that if it's like cycling and you use brakes and you shift gears, how does that relate to what you need to do to get the word out about your coaching game? What kind of practice do you use as a bicyclist in training, in good habits, et cetera? So the metaphor for her was an eye-opening, aha, I can do this the same way that I used to become a good cyclist. So I hope you all can see that just by asking those questions, how do they connect? Now, another way people may do it, and I might be able to open the phone and actually coach somebody for a little bit on this, is as a person is describing their challenge or their wants or their desire or their intention or their whatever they say, invariably somebody's going to say something like, I feel stuck, or I feel like blank. That's your opening, where you don't have to create a metaphor for the client. The goal of coaching usually is to not make up a metaphor, although that's okay. It's a playful way to say, let's think of this situation and what metaphor comes to mind that might work for you. That's one way. But it's less obtrusive if you just listen for the client's language, so that when they say, I feel stuck, and you say, when you describe this challenge you're having and you said you felt stuck, can you tell me more about that being stuck? What else about that stuck is it like? And they may say, what's like? I feel like I'm in the quicksand. I can't get out. Or I feel like I'm, you know, in the mud, or a car went off the road and I'm spinning my wheels. So they'll say more. And you can simply go with the flow and say, what else about that? And what needs to happen? Or what would be helpful in this regard? So just nice open-ended questions that follow the metaphor. Now, one word of caution is you don't want to, this is going to be a mixed metaphor, you don't want to beat a metaphor to death. you don't want to overdo it. You don't want to carry a metaphor to an extreme where you get so excited about taking it further and the client's like lost. So this isn't about you having fun with a metaphor. It's about, is it being helpful to the client? There's always another one. You can listen to more and go back to another language. And you can also say, well, you know, I just wanted to try that. It doesn't sound like that was helpful. So what else do you need next? And then there'll be something else that comes up. There's another thing that I want to reference before we open the lines for discussion, if we've got a clean line, is there's, and you can reference this, look up Google clean language. I actually think it's called, yeah, the website is www.cleanlanguage.co.uk, because it's out of the United Kingdom. Clean language is a methodology for using metaphors in coaching that models the work of a man named David Grove, who I actually took training from back in 1989 in Colorado when I was a psychologist. David Grove was a young Londoner who had developed a method for working with survivors of incest and sexual abuse, which was one of my specialties. And I took his workshop in Denver, and it was all about this use of clean language. So it was a way to have the client discuss their past or their emotional nakedness in a way that was non-threatening. So here's the way it works. You simply, I shouldn't say simply, it's actually very delicate and detailed. You make sure that you only use the client's language. So the reason it's clean is because you, the coach, or back then me, the therapist, was not inserting my interpretive language. So when a client said, "I feel like I'm suffocating," and I would say, and say more about suffocating. "You feel like you're suffocating. Say more about suffocating." And then they would say more. If you look up the website in clean language, you'll find it's actually quite intricate, and I find that it's way too detailed for me. I mean, the woman that teaches it is great. The books have very useful information. I include many of the articles in the class I teach for people to pull out of. But the boiled down version, there's a metaphor right there, of clean language is this. And here's a trick that you can start including in your coaching conversations now. If somebody says to you, I'm having this challenge in my new job, you know, I got moved into this position and I sometimes feel like an imposter or just, I just feel stuck. Then you can say, "And when you think of this situation, it's like what?" So notice that's different than saying, "Tell me what it's like." If I instead say, "When you think of this situation, it's like what?" The very phrase, "like what," implies an answer that's going to be a metaphor. 95% of the time, it will become a metaphor when they answer that question. It's like being in quicksand. It's like being handcuffed. It's like I can't breathe. It's like I'm, whatever. So try to be using that language when you work with people this week or maybe with classmates. I don't know what stage all of you are at in your coaching. But remember that phrase. Write that down. So when somebody brings up a situation and you're wanting to move into metaphoric conversation, you say, "And when you think of that," whatever it is, "it's like what?" That's something that will lead to great conversation about that. So I'm going to ask Amy to open the lines now, and hopefully we won't have a lot of background noise, and we'll be able to converse and maybe even have somebody ask. And I'll try to demonstrate some of this. So we can start if somebody has a question, but I'm also willing, if someone's got a situation, that we could do 7 minutes of coaching, I could do that, and then we could debrief it. Anybody want to volunteer for either, ask a question or bring up a situation?
This is Nancy. I have actually something a client wrote to me that I could volunteer as something. It'd be kind of interesting to me to hear you coach in response to that.
All right.
Okay.
So thank you.
Okay. So she's been in a situation at work that she's been increasingly unhappy with, and she wrote to me and said, "Things have really gotten tougher. I feel kicked and beaten." Those were her words.
Now, yeah, I'm having trouble hearing you, and you're also talking about another person. So are you?
I am.
Are you wanting for me to suggest how you might use metaphor with this person? Or
yes.
Are you using? Okay.
Yes.
So
if
let me,
if you like, I'll role play her. Yeah.
Ah, okay. So tell me once again what the situation is. I didn't hear it all.
Okay. So I'm working in a place I don't like. I feel like I don't belong here. I want to leave within 2 years, but I'm not ready yet, in large part because my retirement fund would not be vested unless I stick it out for 2 more years. So I have a plan, and I'm slowly working on it. And in fact, what I want you to help me with is not getting stuck in planning forever and start moving forward. But in the meantime, things have started really getting worse at work. And I've tried to negotiate a change and been shot down. I don't think they'll fire me because I'm tenured. But I'm really feeling discouraged and kicked and beaten.
Wow. So there's a few terms that jumped out at me: shot down, kicked and beaten. There was one other one, kind of violent metaphors. So when you think of this getting out in 2 years, your 2 year plan, and yet things have gotten worse at work, as you say, what's that like? When you think of that whole scenario, what's that like?
You know, I'm not sure which word to say first, but one is I feel like I'm in prison. And I feel like I'm being tortured.
Boy. It's really a violent metaphor, feeling attacked and shot down and tortured and that's not a feeling that I'd like to have you carry with you. So what can you do about this feeling of prison that you have? Let's go with that word. So when you're in this prison, say more about that. Describe it for me.
Well, you know, when you're in a prison, you're in a cell, you're locked up, you have no power. I feel powerless.
Anything else?
Well, I make efforts to escape, but they're not effective. So I feel powerless and I feel ineffective. And it can make you start losing hope. It makes me feel kind of hopeless.
Earlier you told me regarding your job that you're tenured, so you don't think they can fire you, but it still feels like torture, like getting beat down, like you're in prison, you can't get out. Do you have any other sensations where you sometimes have hope or have compatriots that you can go to help you survive this 2 years?
Well, yes. I do. I definitely have, I'm involved in a yoga practice, and that is very restoring for me, and that's the direction I want to move in. And I do have friends that understand what I'm experiencing, and I can talk to them.
Yeah. You know, I mean, as your coach, we could also play with the idea. So what stops you from just having a plan to quit sooner than 2 years and get out of this prison?
Well, you know, that's an interesting question because it makes me think maybe I'm imprisoning myself, thinking I have to have this fully vested retirement. That's interesting.
So that's one angle you can play with. And another one would be, what would need to change for you to spend the next 2 years not feeling that you're not imprisoned? You don't have to like it. I mean, you know, you want to leave the job, but somehow you found the keys to the cell. So what would need to happen for that to occur?
Well, you know, I'm going to have to think about this, but I'll put out a possibility that if partly I'm imprisoning myself with the belief that I must have this retirement fund, maybe I can remind myself I can unlock the door anytime. anytime I've decided I don't really have to have that money.
Right, right. All right.
And I think I do need it, but maybe I don't.
Yeah, yeah. So let's stop there for the time being, and we could go on. And I would just say, again, if you were my client, one of the assignments might be, what could you do to find out if you could leave early? So you might need to calculate your retirement, you know, or your, I don't know where you are with Social Security or other pension or other savings, but what would help you leave early and find out it's not that bad? You don't have to wait for full pension. Or if it's financially feasible for you to wait, is to find out what are your survival techniques to avoid getting shot down in prison, tortured, et cetera.
Yeah, okay.
So that's directions we would go.
Okay.
So in that role play, so in that role play, what happened to you in the way I asked the questions and the images that I kind of latched on to?
Well, in role playing, my side of the role play felt, at first I did feel discouraged and beaten down and trapped. And I felt put in touch with my own power and resourcefulness through the questions. You started where I was. You didn't say, oh, don't feel so stuck. You know, you just said, you know, I could hear back from you what I was saying, and then I could hear that there might be some possibilities here that I hadn't been considering.
And how did it feel, or what was it like when I named the words kind of as violent metaphors, shot down, tortured, handcuffed, imprisoned?
Well, I kind of, actually it made me kind of gasp, like, oh my God, you know, that's really like serious, you know, that's very violent, and that's, I'm in a place where I'm allowing that to happen, you know, and so, you know, it was actually, it kind of made me open up my eyes, like, I can't just keep going through this the way it is, I have to really pay attention.
Yes. Yeah, well, good role play. Almost sounded like your life, not your client's life.
Well,
so good acting class. All right.
Well,
so
interesting. Yeah, role play.
Anybody else listen in? What did you get out of that 7 or 8 minutes that we just spent? What did you hear?
This is Dean. I heard some very powerful question, and I had a question in regards to that. Would a regular client, would you sort of debrief in the sense of what you just said too by asking what it would feel like when I pointed out your violent metaphors? I mean, when you're toward the end of the session, would you do that actually with a client to sort of summarize the interaction?
Oh, yeah. No, you know, I think that's a great strategy. I think that's a great strategy at the end of any coaching conversation, is to kind of wrap up the gift and put a bow on it, to use another metaphor. So what was most enlightening for you in our conversation today, and what did you get out of our discussion about the images and the metaphor? So, yeah, because that's a learning tool for you, too.
Right.
It's interesting, you all, there's a sheet that I use in the class that I teach where I have a whole list of violent metaphors and alternatives to use. Because if you listen to corporate speak or you listen to people talk and on political television or anything, somebody will say, it's worth a shot, or, you know, this is where we're aiming, or they don't have enough ammo, or they really have to stick to their guns, or it's a surefire method, or we're going to take a stab at it. There's all those words are embedded into our language. Kill two birds with one stone. Give it a shot. You know, going great guns, killing time, plan of attack, all those things. And so I've got a whole sheet of alternatives to that, to those words that people can consciously use. So I catch myself, instead of saying bite the bullet, I can change that to face the music. Or instead of saying give it a shot, it's take a chance. Instead of killing time, I'm waiting until. So just the language that we use and the metaphors that we aren't conscious of can determine the mindset that we carry into a situation. And that's why I like working with metaphors. They actually cause a neurological shift. They cause a mindset shift when people are able to change the metaphor or play with the metaphor in a way that it gets to be, it disappears or it changes or it transforms is really what I'm looking for. So thank you for asking the question. Anybody else, how you responded to coaching role play or anything I've said so far?
Could I ask another question?
Sure. Nobody else jumping in.
Well, it seems like I had Lynn Meinke for my foundation class, and you know, she really brought this awareness, like you're talking about the awareness of these metaphors and transferring to using maybe a lighter metaphor and being more cognizant of what you're doing there. And I feel the same, you know, I really agree with that. But I sometimes wonder, do you feel like that's sort of something that you slowly bring an awareness to with a client? Because when I look back way back before I started thinking about coaching and everything, when people would say sort of like, I would consider it sort of just, it means the same thing. The words really don't matter. You know, it doesn't really make that big of an impact. But then when you do, when we move, when I, my sort of evolution of moving further along and becoming more aware of that, and it really makes sense. But how do you feel about that with someone that maybe feels like I did, and most people probably do to begin with, like, oh, that doesn't really matter, and it does make that much of a difference. And, you know, like I say, I feel it's huge now, but it took me a long time to sort of get to that point.
To get to the – I'm not understanding all, but to get to the point of what?
Well, to get to the point where I identify how important language is in regards to how you think about things. And so, to me, the awareness that I was brought to by Lynn and now with yourself with the importance using metaphors that are not as violent or not as negative. And, but with early on, you know, working with people, like I was
sharing with
I didn't really think it mattered.
Right. Well, here's the thing about coaching. I mean, the whole philosophy of coaching is it's a unique conversation that people probably don't have elsewhere. There's a special focus. There's a special way we listen. There's a special way we hear a client's words. It's not a debate. It's not a two-way conversation like somebody might have at Starbucks with their friends. It's not meant to be advice-giving. So what we do in coaching, and the reason the power of words are so important, is that's how we know the person, through their words, and then their words and their actions, their field work, their follow-up, or whatever. But words are how conversations are contextualized. Now, there's a lot of other advanced trainings where you might learn, you might even want to inquire about in the body. Where do they feel it in their body? So somatic coaching is also. But here's the deal. It's all about increasing somebody's awareness. Awareness leads to choices, and choices lead to new possibilities. So I think that's why language is the key to coaching, even though it's not meant to be me, the coach, being so loquacious that I'm just lecturing using all my words. It's about the client's words and the space between those words. That's actually another metaphor from Benjamin Zander, who's the head of the Boston Philharmonic. Says beautiful music comes from the space between the notes. And I think that's true in coaching conversations as well, that the beautiful insight or connection or understanding or awareness comes from the spaces between the words. So when a client speaks and a coach listens, maybe with powerful silence for a while, that's what brings impact. I'm not there to convince you of anything, really. I'm there to have you think what you've not thought, say what you've not said, and see what you've not seen. And metaphors are one of the ways to do that. Someone sent in a question, Jan. I don't know if you're on the call, but Jan wrote in, is there a helpful compendium of metaphors or websites. You know, I gave you cleanlanguage.co.uk. There's a lot of articles you can read there. It's a lot of helpfulness. And there's other, if you Google the use of the metaphor in coaching, you'd find some articles. I find that it's kind of like powerful questions. When we first taught them in the beginning, we used to give clients tips on cheat sheets or lists of questions you could use. But eventually, you know, it's like throwing away the driver's manual. You know how the car works. Just figure it out in the moment. If you start relying on a list of metaphors, then you're going to get formulaic in your use of them. Instead of just listen for the client's language, the metaphors will be there. So if I gave you an assignment this week to each of you after this call to practice, listen to conversations that you have with your loved one, your husband or wife or your kids or maybe people in a class you're taking. Just listen for the language, and is there some words that pop out that paint a picture? Because that's what you're looking for. When people say things like, I feel constricted or I'm imprisoned or I'm stuck or I feel like I'm floating on a cloud, or I just, you know, listen for those words and you get more in tune with where they come. There is a book that I use relentlessly back when I was a therapist. I'm not really recommending it for coaching, but some of these books based on Milton Erickson's theories are pretty enlightening. And this one's called Therapeutic Metaphors for Children and the Child Within by Joyce Mills and Richard Crowley, who actually went on to be people in the Clean Language site. The reason I kept that book, even though it's probably 30-some years old, is I don't work with children anymore, but I find that the whole business of metaphors apply to adults just like storytelling does. You know, I think sometimes some of you may have certain little short stories you might tell your clients, and although that's not traditional use of metaphors, there's a metaphor built into symbolic language. This coaching game that I've certified in now, it's called the Coaching Game from Points of View. In fact, if any of you want to know more about that, write me or something. I'm doing a training in Jacksonville, Florida in that process in November. It's fascinating. I mean, it's these picture cards, photographs, and so each one has a word on it, and there's also a photograph of some unique site, and it brings out the symbolic thinking, and then there's a story attached to each word in the book that you get in the training kit. I just find it incredibly fascinating for working with one-on-one with clients, working with groups. I've used it with corporate board meetings. I've used it with high school-age kids. I've used it with hospice workers. And it's just really a great way to have a discussion either in a group or singularly. If you want to learn more about that, you can look at pointsofview.com, Y-O-U, not points of view, but points of view. And then I'm one of the certified trainers in that methodology now. So there's another question somebody also sent in. Sabrina says, I'm curious to learn more about the use of metaphors to illuminate stuck points for clients, and then how to use the metaphor to move the client forward. You know, really, Sabrina, that's a common one when people feel stuck. But you don't have to do anything other than keep asking about the metaphor. And then powerful questions such as, well, so what would it take? How would somebody get unstuck? Like if you were stuck and you're off the road, you're stuck in a snowbank, what happens when people get unstuck? Well, they call AAA. Or they open the trunk and they've got a bunch of kitty litter in a bag and they throw that down under the wheels and then the car can move. Or they wait for help. Or they, you know, it's like, what do you do in real life when you're stuck? And then the metaphor changes for people. The answer is usually you get help, you change your tactics, you find out that you're tired of being stuck, you get help, whatever. So I think that's it. This is not something you need to become versed in theoretical physics or anything. You simply need to listen to the client and let the metaphors be explained by them. So you say, and when I heard you use the word stuck, can you tell me more about being stuck? Describe that to for me. Where are you stuck? How are you stuck? What else about being stuck is there? And that's some of that clean language stuff. Anybody else? Questions, comments about what we said so far? Anybody still here?
Yeah.
I haven't heard any hang-ups, so I can hear you thinking.
Yes, thank you, Pat. Just taking it all in.
Yes, yeah. Well, I had fun with this, and I want to encourage you all who took the time out of your day to come and practice using metaphor. I will post on the ILCT website, so look for that. I'll post some links that people can do some further reading. Reread the section in Becoming a Professional Life Coach. There's two places where the use of metaphors are mentioned. And I'm going to give you one other thing that's fun to do with clients where you kind of invoke the metaphor rather than listen for the metaphor, and that's by the use of guided imagery. So I oftentimes, I guess because I'm trained in transpersonal and psychosynthesis, I oftentimes offer to some of my clients, especially since I like to work with people who are looking for transformational living. You know, it's like you can't say spiritual in the boardroom, but it's all about life meaning, life purpose, right? So guided imagery can be things that you take them on kind of a mental trip. And there are ways you can do that. The easiest one is called Meadow, Mountain, and River, where it's a setup image rather than you doing an entire verbal narration of an imagery. And it goes like this. Imagine, you say you and your client, imagine that we're standing on the edge of a forest looking out at a field, and I want you to walk out into the middle of this meadow now, this field, and just really take it all in and feel what there is to feel in the sun and the grasses and whatever, flowers. And then off to your left, if you turn and look to your left, there's a trail that goes up the mountain, and you can see it winding its way up through the trees and up into the higher peaks. And as it gets to be a rockier region, and you even would suspect there's waterfalls up there. So that's another part of this place in nature. And then if you look to your right down the valley, there's a river that flows down through the valley, and you can see far off into the distance. It's probably miles that you can see where it keeps going down into the valley, and the river meanders and the trees get smaller and it's more lush. So if you were to choose right now, would you, based on the challenges that you have in your life or anything about what's going on in your life right now, would you stay in the meadow and enjoy where you are, or would you go up the trail to the mountain and see what there is to see, or would you go down the valley and follow the river? Neither choice is right or wrong. It's just yours. And then you would ask the client to spend about 5 to 8 minutes just enjoying whatever they chose, and then bring them back to the present moment and see what they learned. What did they learn in either of those places? What new thinking did they have about the challenge or the goal that they have invoked in their life right now? And what did they take away from the experience of their choosing? So that's kind of a bonus that I gave you just there. That's a great a guided imagery that you only set it up. You don't guide them through their choice. You just set up the choices that they have. Comments on that? Something you can use?
Oh, yeah. I think that's a great story, giving them
yeah.
the time. That'll
yeah.
take them where they need to go for sure.
Yep. Yep. And you don't have to get up to the metaphor of, oh, let's see, people that went from the mountain went to their higher consciousness, down the valley was their lower consciousness, they stayed in the middle. No, that's too analytical. they just chose what they chose. They were drawn to what they were drawn to. And some people might say, geez, I went to all three. I did it so fast. Which is okay. And then you can also leave a client with the fact that this can be their place of empowerment that they can always go back to. But they have these three choices in nature that are nice and peaceful and calming, and they can choose anyone they want to get insight into some current challenge. So we've got about 10 minutes left if you want to take the time and see if anybody else has got any comments, questions, experiences of using metaphors.
Yeah, hi, Pat. This is Deborah from Boca.
Hi, Deborah.
Hi. I really enjoy this call because I think that I use metaphors, and certainly my patients use metaphors, and I should say my clients. I also work in the healthcare industry, so with my nutritional coaching, we use metaphors a lot. My clients certainly use them all the time, and I'm realizing that without even thinking about it, when I catch a violent metaphor, I do tend to turn it, and I do tend to ask them more about that, and
yeah.
Or just at least make them aware of how they're feeling through that particular metaphor that they've given me. And I really never thought about it. I think it just comes naturally. But I like the fact that I'm now becoming a little bit more aware of that. I went back, as you were speaking, back to my book and started looking at the chapter where you spoke about it, and I like this. I think I'll be a little bit more aware of what my clients are actually saying and the words that they're actually using. I think I am pretty aware, but this is just another level of awareness that I think I needed.
I appreciate those comments, because here's what I want for everybody. I mean, I'm an experienced coach, and I'm always learning, right? I mean, that's what we're about. That you need something to enliven your, I don't want to say techniques, but your way of being with clients. And I think it's all about becoming consciously conversational. So if you're going to use metaphors with clients, it is a technique, but it's actually a part of conversation that you just want to become more aware of and turn up the volume on. Listen for them. Listen for them and use them. And probably, like my friend Diane Menendez said, it's like chili peppers in a good Tex-Mex recipe. You don't want to overdo it. You know? So don't do metaphor all the time. But it's probably a part of every conversation, could be, and it can only be for a few minutes, that you're trying to get clients to think what they've not thought and to hear what they've not heard, most likely from within their own head if you ask the right questions. I mean, I think metaphors are a great way to use open-ended, powerful questions with imagery that brings in the right brain. So it's a right brain, left brain synthesis. Somebody else? Time for a couple more.
Hey, Pat. This is Jan Watson.
Hey, Jan.
I just got on the call. I got on a client call. It took way too long, so I missed the whole thing, and I'm really hoping it was recorded.
Yes, it was.
Okay, good. I wanted to put in a plug. I don't know if you're still offering the metaphor class, but I took it. It was outstanding.
Yeah, so it's good to hear your voice again.
Huh?
Yeah, thank it's good to hear your voice again, and thank you. I said I'll probably offer it again in the spring. I've got a class that I'm doing coming up in September for Coaching the Global Village for people that want to learn to coach in nonprofit sector or do trainings for us. And then I've got a mastery class that's listed on the website that I don't know if people are signed up for yet, but I'll do the metaphor class next spring.
Well, it was excellent, so anybody considering it should really pay attention to when it's offered.
Thank you. And for those of you listening to this recording, too, I mentioned earlier that what I'm doing with this points of view training, the coaching game using photographic cards, that is so about metaphor. And if you want to learn more about that and come to a training in Jacksonville in November and get ICF credits, coaching credits, please write me and I'll send you the information. So you can write to pat@lifecoachtraining.com. And inquire about the points of view training, because you will leave that with the ability to be a trainer. So you'll just train the trainer on how to use the process. All right. Well, I thank you all for coming, those of you who are on the call, those of you listening to the recording. You can always write me or contact me through the ILCT website, too. I will post some things on the Facebook page and send to Amy so that she can put it in the places where you find material that you're looking for. And until then, we'll have another call next month, and I appreciate you attending.
Thank you, Pat.
Thank you, everybody.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.